So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're just going to be in four verses, verses 18 through 21. And we're going to read about God's missionary ministry and his ultimate missionary, Jesus Christ. We're going to learn about what Jesus Christ did for us, and it's going to be awesome. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 18 through 21. It reads, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So this portion of scripture written from the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church clearly shows us what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And so the word reconciliation is a common word repeated several times, so it's the theme, and the definition of reconciliation is the restoration of friendly relations, or making a relationship compatible once again. And many use this passage to refer to the reconciliation between two people. Let's say there's two brothers in the church, and they're friends, and they serve together, and one wakes up on the wrong side of bed and accidentally, you know, offends the other, and there's a falling out between the two of them, and they don't talk, and things are, you know, awkward at the church. And so one day, the offender wakes up and says, "I need to make things right." So he invites him for a California burrito. He asks for forgiveness, and they reconcile, and they make things right. But this passage is not talking about the reconciliation between two people. It's talking about the reconciliation between people and God. And that was what Jesus' ministry was all about. We celebrate Jesus' ministry and everything that he did. We know that Jesus served the people, and he healed the people, and he taught the people. He asked people to follow him, and he gave sight to the blind, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And that's why Peter denied him three times, possibly. He rose people from the dead. But his ultimate ministry was his work on the cross when he paid the price for all of our sins. That was his ultimate ministry, reconciling us to God once again. And we need to understand that God doesn't need to be reconciled to man, because God didn't wake up one day and he decided to, you know what, I want to make things right with man, with people once again. God never changed, and he has always loved people dearly. He never changes, and he cannot be reconciled to people because he always loved people. In fact, he demonstrates his own love towards people because while we were yet dead in our sins and trespasses, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God doesn't change. And since Genesis chapter 3, it was people who decided to be separated from God. People need to be reconciled unto God. And we know that, you know, this was all Adam and Eve's fault, but we come from the same family, and so we all decided to be separated from God. And in fact, all of us who are saved, we were once dead in our sins and trespasses. We all walked according to the course of this world. We walked once according to the devil and living for our fleshly desires. But the cool thing is that God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love, he loved us. And even though we were dead in trespasses and sins, he reconciled us to God out of his great love. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that put a smile on your face? Isn't that cool? And so God never changed. He loves the world so much. In fact, you know, for God so loved the entire world that he gave his only begotten son. And here in verse 18 in our passage, we read that, "Now all things are of God." And what things is Paul talking about? Basically everything prior to verse 18. One example is in verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." And so that is the work of God. He redeems people. He transforms people. He makes people new once again. And Paul is obviously writing to saved people. He's writing to the Corinthian church. So we can apply this today. We all have been reconciled, all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The word ministry means to serve. And many people here at the branch just love to serve the Lord. And we serve the Lord by serving people. And many times we serve people through the local church. And you guys have ministries inside the church, outside the church. Some people have teaching ministries, children's ministries, prayer, evangelism, Hearts and Hands. What a fantastic ministry, Hearts and Hands. But we need to understand that we all have this ministry of reconciliation. So in verse 19, it says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. So God was in Christ reconciling the world, not the entire world, but anybody in the world that who wants to believe can be reconciled. That's the great news. Another part of the great news is that he didn't impute their trespasses to them. And this phrase, not imputing their trespasses, is in the Greek, basically it refers to a banking term, not charging to your account. You see, before we got saved, we all had this sin account. Some of you guys had just a little bit of sin in your account. Some people, a little bit more. And some people had, years and decades of just crazy sin. But the fact is, if you had just one sin in your account, the penalty of that sin is death. But what Paul is writing right here, he's saying that he didn't charge your account. Jesus Christ made your account balance zero. You don't have a negative balance. You're not in the red. You don't owe anything. You check your app, your banking app, your sin application on your phone, and it says zero because Jesus Christ paid the price. Isn't that awesome? And many people think that they still have something in their account and they need to do something extra, but Jesus Christ paid the price. An example. It's just an example. I'm going to make a reference to politics. I'm not promoting one side or the other, so no need to worry. But let's just say, for example, the Trump administration gets on Twitter and tweets that we want to honor all the people in San Diego County, everybody that has voted for President-elect Donald Trump. We want to honor them by paying off all of their debt. And, it's all over the media. It's on Twitter. It's all over the place. And the set date, and then there's a set date, and they come and do a ceremony. They come to San Diego. They get on KUSI, and they share with everybody that, we're going to pay all debt to every single person that voted for Donald Trump, all 183 of them in San Diego County. We are going to pay their mortgage, their cars, Citibank, Capital One, Chase, Discover, all of it. And you were one of the few. You were one of the 183, and you're like, whoa, is this real? Because you just bought a house, and you're like, I just signed a 30-year, contract to buy this, little fixer-upper in San Diego. It's going to take you a few years to get it dialed in. It's just, you got to work on it a little bit, but, it just cost you $3.5 million, so you're doubtful. But you go down to the bank, and sure enough, they tell you that here's the documentation. You do not owe anything. But you don't believe them, and then they show you, in another place where you don't owe anything. It's zero. Your account reads, your balance is zero. You don't own anything. But you still don't believe, and you decide to, volunteer at the bank. You want to, on the weekends, I'm going to, come here and cut the grass and trim the bushes. In the evenings, during the week, I'm going to clean the offices, and I'm going to clean the, I'm going to wash the president of the bank's car, And what would the people at the bank tell you? You're silly. What are you doing? It's zero. You don't owe anything. It's your house. Enjoy life. Go and read some books. Just get out of here. But you insist that you want to volunteer, but they tell you, listen, even if the even if you owed something, you know, you owe us money, $3.5 million after over 30 years, that's like, you know, $110 million in interest, you know? And even if you could, you know, even if it wasn't paid for, your volunteer time cannot pay the $110 million. So please leave, or we're going to call the police, you know? And, you know, and many Christians think about, you know, their sin account at, you know, like this. They think, you know, is my sin really paid for? I screwed up a couple weeks ago. You know, remember last year? I just, you know, I better, you know, serve. I better be a nice guy. I better get religious in 2017. You know, this year, 2017, I'm going to come to church 3 times a month. I'm going to, you know, I might become a member of one of those life transformation groups. I'm going to pray a little bit. I'm going to, you know, I'll pray for that missionary who's going to China. I don't, you know, she really needs prayer. She's going to China. I don't know why she's leaving San Diego. I'm going to serve somewhere. I'm going to, you know, do something. I'm going to have some good works to possibly pay off my sin debt just in case the work of Jesus Christ on the cross wasn't enough. And maybe God will, you know, maybe see my good works and glorify his. Wait, that doesn't work. I don't know. I'm just going to do some good things so my sin can be paid for. But many Christians think like that. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you know, we've been, by faith, by grace, we've been saved through faith. It's not of works. We can't do anything. We can't pay the price. And Jesus Christ paid the price, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So first we had the ministry of reconciliation, and now we have this word of reconciliation. And what does that mean? So now that we're saved, and now that we have been reconciled, now we have the responsibility and the privilege of being participators in the ministry of reconciliation. And how do we do this? Well, we preach the gospel. We share the good news. We share with others that God loves you so much and that he sent his only begotten son into the world to die on the cross for all of your sins. It's an amazing message, and we all get to participate in this. We all get to share the good news with others and go, therefore, and make disciples, you know, as we go about our lives, we will teach others everything that we're learning from the Lord. Everything that we learn here, we get to share with others. And it's obviously a free gift. We just need to receive it. People need to believe. And who are the people that need to get saved? Well, everybody who's dead in their sins and trespasses. So it's a lot of people. We have a lot of work to do. And who needs to be participating in this ministry of reconciliation? Is it just the missionaries? Well, that would be a lot of work for them, no? Is it the pastors, exclusively for the pastors and leaders? Is Paul writing to the Corinthian church and just writing exclusively just to the leadership or people involved in ministry? No, he's writing to the entire church. Everybody who's saved gets to participate in this ministry. So it's all of our, you know, it's all of our ministry. It's our ministry of reconciliation. We all get to participate in it. So it's like we're all missionaries. So we all get to preach the gospel. How beautiful are the feet who preach the gospel of peace. You know, so all of our feet, they're so beautiful. They may not smell very good, but they are beautiful. And we all get to participate in this. And so in verse 20, then it says, Now then what? Now then that we have already been reconciled, now then Christ did the work on the cross. He paid the price. Now that we've been reconciled and now that we have this ministry of reconciliation, now we get to be ambassadors. Wouldn't it be awesome to be an ambassador for the United States of America? Or from whatever country you come from, it would be an amazing opportunity and responsibility to represent the people of your nation, to go into a foreign land and to, you know, you're like a dignitary, you have diplomatic immunity, and they roll out the red carpet, and you get to serve your country by being an ambassador. But ambassadors for Christ, they don't represent a president or a prime minister, But ambassadors for Christ represents the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we don't represent a country or a nation. We represent heaven. And we know that we're citizens of heaven, that our real citizenship is found in heaven. And we are just, visitors here on this earth. We're not of this world. We don't belong here. In fact, we are like aliens here on planet Earth. You guys are aliens, but we'll save that for another sermon, okay? But so we don't even belong here. So we're kind of like missionaries here in a foreign land. This world is foreign to us. And think about the cultural and historical context of Paul writing to the Corinthian church. Because Rome sent out many ambassadors, to all the places that they have conquered and that they want to conquer. Some places really received the idea of Roman rule very well, because there were places that were very poor and insecure. There was very dangerous. And so when the Romans came in, they brought in, security and stability, infrastructure, roads, better economy, education, fine Italian cuisine like the Olive Garden. And they started starting Olive Gardens all over the place. And they were like, yes, please come, Romans, we welcome you. But some places didn't want the Romans, like Corinth. Corinth was already an established society. They were educated and they were rich and they had businesses. And so when the Romans came in, what did the Romans do? They taxed them. And so the Corinthian people hated the Romans. And so when Paul is writing this, you will be ambassadors, they're thinking, well, we hate Caesar and we hate their representatives, the ambassadors. Well, they don't hate him because they're Christians, so they highly despise Caesar and highly despise the ambassadors. And so they're probably thinking, you know what? We will probably be hated as well if we are ambassadors for Christ. And isn't that the truth today? Some people will totally receive the good news. They will say, yes, the gospel is good news for me. Thank you for sharing with me. Yes, I need to receive it. It's good for me. It's good for my family. It's especially good for my mother-in-law. She needs to repent. And, people will love to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But some people, people in an established society, let's say people who think they have it all, everything that they need, they may hate the gospel and they may hate you because you represent the God that they hate. So not all the time will we be received with open arms. And so Paul is saying that we are ambassadors for Christ. And between the first and second coming of Jesus, we are in this time of grace that anybody can get saved, anybody can repent, anybody can turn from their wicked ways and turn to the loving God. And here in the verse it says that as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So this word pleading, an ambassador doesn't plead. An ambassador, another word for pleading is actually like begging. And ambassadors today don't beg the people that they go and serve. But ambassadors for Christ, we should have this idea of pleading with others. Please be reconciled to God. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Our message should be a message of not of condemnation, but of love. And please, God loves you so much. He wants you. He wants you. He loves you so much. He wants everything for you. He wants you to repent from your sins, because the path that you're going down will lead you to destruction. In Mexico and Latin America in general, I have observed that many Christians in the churches, they feel like they have this duty and this ministry of criticizing other churches and other ministries, and they criticize and condemn other pastors for what they teach and all that stuff. And I don't understand, because we're supposed to be working on the same team. We're supposed to make his name known. And so if they condemn the people, the other Christians, their teammates, how much more do they condemn the people of this world? And so there's like this condemning message always for the people of this world, because they don't talk like us, they don't act like us, they don't have the same values as us. But our ministry is not to condemn people, but our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus didn't come to condemn the people. In fact, he said the Son of Man didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the world may be saved. And so our message as reconcilers, as ambassadors for Christ, is a message of love. It's a message of pleading. It's a message of begging the people, please be reconciled to God. He loves you so much. Verse 21, Paul writes, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So this is like a summary of what Paul has been writing about. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. He never was a sinner, but he became sin for us. He took on all the sin of all those who believe in him, and he paid the price on the cross. He suffered the death on the cross so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that amazing? Not only did he wipe our sin account clean, there's no negative balance, but he made a deposit of righteousness into our account. And that's grace. That is, we do not deserve this. But he put into our account the righteousness of Christ. And not that we are perfect, not that we are holy, but we are in this process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every single day of our life. And we'll be perfected in the day of Jesus, in the day of our glorification, when we get our glorified bodies. Hallelujah. And so we're in this process. And he put righteousness in our account. But God looks at us today. He doesn't look at our sins, but he looks, when he looks at us, he looks at, and he sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? So with that, we're going to close out and pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this passage, and we thank you that you were the ultimate missionary coming down from heaven to earth to reconcile us. Thank you that we can have a relationship, a restored relationship with you, God. Thank you so much that you have put righteousness into our account. And I pray that you would bless the Branch Church as they go out. They would be reconcilers with preaching the good news. I thank you for them, and I pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.